Well, let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. While you're turning to the Scriptures, I'll be speaking tonight on the subject, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. The Lord our peace. All right, let's read Philippians chapter 1, the first 6 verses. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops, pastors, and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace. You know, out of all of Paul's epistles, I think there are about 14 of them, he begins 12 of them with this statement, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. That's why I'm preaching on that tonight. Peace of God. All right, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance, every memory of you, every mention of you. Thank God for every thought of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Now here's our text. Being confident. Being confident. In this very thing, and of this very thing, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will, the word is perform, which is complete, finish, perfect. That work until the day, the glorious day of our Lord's return. Now, most everyone is interested in miracles. A miracle will attract your attention. And that's not unusual, nor is it evil, nor is it unscriptural to be interested in miracles. I'm interested in miracles. Everything God does is a miracle, supernatural. And when John the Baptist sent his disciples to inquire of our Lord, you remember? And he told the men he sent to inquire of Jesus of Nazareth, are you he that should come? Are you the Christ? Or do we look for another? And our Lord replied, you go and show John. You go and show John again. Did you ever notice that word? Again. Those things which you see and hear. How the blind receive their sight. Show John. Tell John. And the lame walk. And the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now you go tell John that. Only the Messiah can do that. And my friends, if you're interested in miracles, you're looking at a miracle right now. And I'll tell you this, I'm looking at a lot of miracles out there. Miracles, that's right. Do not the blind see? There was a time when you didn't see. You didn't see these heavenly truths, did you? There was a time when you did not see. There was a time when the God of this world had blinded you lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine into your heart. But now you see. You see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And these wonderful mysteries of the kingdom of God preached to you. You understand them and rejoice in them. The blind see. That's a miracle. And the lame walk. That's right. The lame walk. Walk by faith with God. Like Enoch of old. There are men right here. Enoch was a family man. Enoch was a public man. Enoch was a leader of men in that day. Enoch was a farmer and a herdsman. But Enoch walked with God. By faith. How do you walk with God? By faith. And you walk. There was a time you didn't. There was a time you lay dead in trespasses and sin. But you walk with God now. Who enabled you to walk? That's a miracle. The deaf hear. Our Lord said, blessed are your ears. They hear. Well, doesn't everybody hear? No. No, everybody doesn't hear. He says, they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. I hear. I not only hear, but I love to hear. I not only love to hear, but I can't hear enough. That's a miracle. Dead men don't hear. And they don't rejoice in what they hear. Oh, they rejoice in their religion. They rejoice in their traditions. They rejoice in their social fellowship. But they don't rejoice in Him because they can't hear. The only one whose heart can sing to the melody is the one who hears it. You may be standing beside a deaf man and you're going like this. Your heart is blessed and that sweet strings of beautiful music's coming in. He's standing there looking at you or maybe looking around. He don't hear. See what I'm saying? The deaf hear. A miracle. And the dead have been raised, dead in sin. Not only raised from the dead, but raised to die no more. He that believeth in Christ shall never die. Death is over. Oh, we shall sleep. We shall sleep, but not die. No. Death hath no dominion over you. You've already died. To die no more, risen. The dead have been raised. And not only raised, but Paul said, yea, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. There's several things wrong with what the preacher says when he says, everybody, raise your hand if you're sure for heaven, as if you were already there. Several things wrong with that. There's a gross presumption to begin with. But those who are in Christ are already there. Huh? As if I were there. My forerunner has already entered within the veil. Isn't that what it says? I am already there. If I'm in Christ, if I'm raised with Christ, if I'm seated with Christ, where is He seated? Within the veil. So there are a lot of things wrong with that. But out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's like the missionary I heard a few weeks ago who said Christianity is 2,000 years old. I sat there and thought, what kind of Christianity is he talking about? Moses was a Christian. Moses rode with me, Christ said. Abraham was a Christian. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Glad. Christianity is as old as Christ. When God made him the surety of the covenant, that's Christianity. Oh, miracle. You understand this? Then thank God you're a miracle. Because most people don't. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. lepers, corrupted, decaying, filthy lepers outside the camp are now accepted in the Beloved. The old leper had to walk around saying, unclean, unclean, don't come near me, I'm unclean. Not anymore. I can come boldly before the throne of my God, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Lepers are cleansed. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Old Arthur Pink said, the poor are those who have nothing, know nothing, and can do nothing. That's poor. Well, that's us. But we have the gospel, the good news, the riches of Christ preached to us. The gospel's for the poor. Poor in spirit. You see, my friend, the believer's entire life is a miracle. A far greater miracle than a temporary healing of this decaying body. Far greater miracle. Our birth is a miracle. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, that's a miracle. Regeneration's a miracle. The womb of nature is as dead as Sarah's womb. Unless God speaks, Sarah will bear no son. Unless God speaks, you'll bear no life. The sinner's grave is as cold and dark as Lazarus' grave. The only voice that could bring Lazarus forth from his dark, damp deadness was the voice of the Son of God. And our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, they that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who then can be saved? Well, with men it's impossible. As impossible as for the eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch, to change his skin and become a white man. As impossible for the leopard to change his spots. Impossible for us to do good who by nature are evil. Bringing life out of our death is like dipping a cup of clear, clean water out of a dunghill. Can you imagine? Almighty God can reach down with His hand of mercy by the blood of Christ into the dunghill of our deadness and depravity and lift up out of there a cup of clean, fresh, pure water. That's right. Our God can produce a flame from an icicle. We can make a candle burn, but you can't make an icicle burn. My God can. The coldest, deadest heart, He can revive with the fire of Christ. That's right. But God! That's what the Scripture said. You who were dead in trespasses and sin, you who followed the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, the pride of life, you who walked even as Satan directed your path, children of wrath, even as others, in the dunghill, but God! For His great love wherewith He loved us, not that we loved Him, He loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace, so you say. That's a miracle. Of His own will begat He us. But not only is my birth and regeneration a miracle, but this entire pilgrimage, you believe this? Is a miracle. It is not only a miracle that you live spiritually, but it'll be a miracle if you continue to live. I guarantee you. It'll be a miracle if you stay in the faith. It'll be a miracle. Because it's just not in you. It's a miracle that we begin in faith, and a greater miracle if we finish in faith. That's right. I'm telling you. I've seen too much of it. And I'll tell you who knows that better than anybody. When the enlightened believer knows himself and knows his enemies, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not your enemy. Your brother is not your enemy. The man you work for is not your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And they're out to defeat Christ. It's exactly right. And when the enlightened believer knows himself and he knows his enemies and he understands just a little bit of the dangers about him, the pitfalls, he is as amazed with God's keeping grace as he is with God's saving grace. I'm amazed that you came here to start with. God brought you. But I'm amazed at you who stayed. God kept you. I tell you, I'm telling the truth. We're like travelers walking along a slippery ledge with destruction on either side. If the hand of God does not hold you, you'll fall. You'll fall. We're like flowers blooming in a desert, dependent on water from heaven. If it does not come, you'll die. We're like a desperate, defenseless deer running through a forest of hunters on the first day of deer season, all seeking his life. It'll only be a miracle if he doesn't go down. He'll have to be covered by the protective hand. He'll have to be shielded by the providence of God. And so will you. And so will you. But God, He'll keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. And then He will bear me safely over where my Savior I shall meet. And here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither, by God's help, I come. And I hope, by His good pleasure, I'll safely arrive at home. But it'll be by His pleasure. But not only that, the believer's birth is a miracle. The believer's continuing in the faith is a miracle. But our resurrection, the finality of death. The finality of death. Have you ever stood beside someone and watched them die? They don't hear you anymore. They don't see you anymore. The body's dead. You place your hand on it. It's already cold. And clammy and beginning to get hard. Oh, the finality of death. Say something. Please say something. He'll never, ever say anything again. Oh, the corruption of the grave. Have you ever seen them dig up a body that's been dead for a year or two? It's amazing. There's nothing there. Dust. Dry bones, a little hair, it's all gone. Oh, the corruption of the grave. Oh, the helplessness of human. But God, that's where you have to come, standing by the grave. But God, it'll have to be God. He'll raise my vile body, Paul said, and He'll make it like unto His glorious body. Now, that's a miracle. You mean this will live again? You mean as you stand and watch them dig up someone who's been dead a year or two? You mean those, that flesh will shine again and that hair will wave again and that body will fill out again and that voice will speak again and those eyes will see again like they've never seen before. Like they've never heard before. That's a miracle. And that's what Paul is saying here in this text in Philippians 1:6. Being confident. Being confident. I tell you, there's no confidence anywhere else. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it, shall complete it, shall finish it, shall glorify it in the day of Christ. No confidence in this flesh. At that time of death and decay, call on your preacher. He can't do anything. Call on the priest. He can't do anything. Call on your tradition. Call on all your worldly friends. Call on your cohorts and companions. They can't do anything. But I'll tell you this. Paul said, I'll tell you where my confidence is. In him. Being confident that he. Watch this now. Being confident, persuaded, certain of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work. With you, with whom did the work begin? You know, we try to start everything with man. Nothing starts with man. The creation didn't start with man. The world didn't start with man. The Bible doesn't start with man. It says, in the beginning, God. Hebrews starts off, God, who at certain times in various manners spake to our Father. God, that's where it starts. That's where everything starts. That's where love starts. We didn't love God. He loved us. Oh, Paul said, of him are you in Christ Jesus. Even Christ Jesus was of God, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose in Christ, which He purposed before the world began. He did it, being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work, whom He foreknew, He predestinated. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. I'm Alpha and Omega, He said. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. I'm the beginning. I'm the author and finisher of faith. Oh, Paul said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. He calls it a good work. Oh, how important this is right here. If you'll just pull up a chair a minute and let me talk to you. This is what makes salvation by the grace of God to be a cause for rejoicing. Because He hath begun in us and for us a good work. A good work. This work that God has begun in us is a perfect work without flaw or spot. You don't have any works like that. I don't have any works like that. The scripture says in Leviticus 22, to be accepted, it has to be perfect. What has to be perfect? Well, if you have His wisdom, it's perfect wisdom. If you have His righteousness, it's perfect righteousness. If you have His sanctification, it's perfect sanctification. If you have His redemption, it's perfect redemption. You see, all our righteousness is a filthy rag. Our Lord said to those at the judgment who said, well, we preached and done many wonderful works. He said, they're works of iniquity. And works of iniquity won't take you into God's presence. But I'm confident of this one thing, that he that hath begun in you
a good work. A good work. Your sanctification is good.
Your righteousness is good in him. Huh? You see that? He hath begun in you. And look at here, he calls it a work. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. It's a work. Our Lord prayed in Gethsemane's garden, Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do. What is that work? Well, that work is for us righteousness and peace. Purpose for the Father, purchase for the Son. We have in Christ a perfect righteousness. We have in Christ a perfect atonement. I have finished. It's a good work. The Father accepted it. How do we know he accepted it? He said he gave evidence to us in that he raised him from the dead. It's a good work. And it's a work for us, and it's a work in us. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb hath revealed his Son in me. And then over here, turn one page in Philippians to chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. Philippians 2:13. It's God that worketh in you both to will, to want to desire to, and to do of his good pleasure. You and I not only have the grace of God to do his will, it takes the grace of God to make us want to do his will. You see that? I'm confident that he, which hath begun a good work in you, this good work, Christ's righteousness, Christ's atonement, Christ's cleansing,
he will perform it. He will. And that word perform is complete.
He will finish it. He will accomplish it. Hold your hand there and turn to Ecclesiastes 3. I want you to listen to this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I want you to read this scripture here with me and mark it in your Bible. Listen to it. Now, I know, the writer says, Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know. That's like Paul saying, I'm confident of this very thing. I know. Whatsoever God do it, it'll be forever. Now, if you do it, or the preacher does it, or the church does it, or any fleshly power, you can't say that. But if God does it, it'll be forever. And nothing can be put to it. Doesn't need to add anything to it. Everything God does is complete. In its entirety. You can't add anything to it.
Can't take anything away from it either. God doeth it that men should fear, worship, glorify him. For that which hath been is now. And that which is to be, it's already been.
And God requireth that which is past. That which hath been, it is. And that which is, it hath been. God declares the end from the beginning. No surprises with God. That's right. I'm confident, Paul said, that he And I read the scripture at the beginning of the service in which David said, our God's in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. And he that hath begun, it's not finished yet where you're concerned or I'm concerned, but it will be. If he began it. For if God does it, it's forever. And nothing can be taken from it, nothing can be added to it. It's perfect. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. That which is, hath been. And that which hath been, it will be. He'll perform it. I can tell you this. Listen to me. If your hand is on the latch and your foot on the threshold of paradise, you'll only take that last step by the power and grace of God. Right or down. That's so. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, and who knows what they are, toils and snares, I have already come and will go. But it's God's grace that brought me saved thus far. And it'll be God's grace that takes me home. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Not a thing. Why wouldn't the work be completed? Why wouldn't it? I'm confident, Paul said, that he which hath begun in you, not just for you, but in you, a good work, a good work.
None good but God.
But this work is good because God did it. He shall perfect it. Why wouldn't he? Will he change his mind? Well, Malachi said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Paul said, the gifts and calling of God without change. Will some greater power defeat his purpose? None can stay my hand. God said, or saying to me, what doest thou? Christ said, I have all authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Is there some insufficiency in the atonement, maybe?
The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
He is able to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Shall God be mocked? Our Lord said, sit down and count the cost. Whether you have sufficient to finish it, let somebody come by and look at your unfinished house and mock you and say, he didn't have enough power to finish it. You think God's going to be mocked?
Do you think there's anywhere on this earth or ever has been or ever will be a creature whom God set out to save and God will not finish it? He'll not finish it. Do you?
There's a lot of... Oh, my. Give me an example from the Bible
of one thing God ever started to do he didn't finish. Just one example.
Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that all which he hath given me I'll lose nothing. Nothing. Oh, the ceremonialist sprinkles the infant and says a work is begun, but that infant may yet perish. That's right. The free willer shakes the man's hand out the front of the church and he says, glory to God, the work's begun.
but that man may yet perish.
The legalist reforms his life, turns over a new leaf, and starts down a moral road, but he'll probably leave it. He'll grow weary of it. But God! Boy, I tell you, that's a foundation, isn't it? But God, who hath begun a good work in you, shall will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day when He comes again. There'll be no vacancies in heaven, but there's plenty of room. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Do you want a miracle? Then look not to the fleshly wonders, which are temporary. Look at the eternal work of redemption. God choosing a people. Christ redeeming a people. The Holy Spirit miraculously, effectually, invisibly calling them to faith in Christ, which shall never fail. And one day, like Enoch of old, they'll walk with God and walk right on into glory. Because my name from the palms of His hand, eternity will never erase. Impress on His heart, my name remains in marks of eternal grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the promise is given. More happy, but not more secure, are the glorified saints in heaven. Moses, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and David are with God, right? They're happier than we are. But I'll guarantee you, they are no more secure
than the least believer right down here in this cesspool of iniquity. Because the same God who saved them saved you by the same grace through the same blood. Exactly right.
So I'm confident of this one thing, that He which hath begun in you a good work, if He began it, I'll see you in glory. Now, if He didn't, if you boast of what you've done, what you've given, how you live, farewell, old friend. That's just so.